It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Emergency room physicians say they're seeing more violence on the job, according to a new report. We talk with a researcher about what's behind that, how physical abuse affects medical professionals both in and out of the ER, and what it would take to improve conditions. Do you work in an emergency room? Have you experienced violence on the job? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Gosh, if I could talk, I'd be a radio announcer. Or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. Terry Kovalenko is chairman of emergency medicine at Oakland University William Beaumont School of Medicine in Michigan. He's been studying workplace violence in the emergency room for more than a decade. Dr. Kovalenko, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
How common is it for emergency room workers to experience physical abuse on the job?
Our research really shows that it's prevalent among all the work groups within the emergency department, and nearly everyone experiences some form of violence, whether that be physical assault or a threat of violence. It's nearly all of them. Our study showed that little over 70% of the physicians only, now mind you, physicians suffer the least amount of violence of the work groups within the emergency department, but 71% had suffered some sort of violence in the previous year.
And when we talk about violence, what kinds of things are we talking about?
It's really the spectrum of everything from a physical threat or an actual physical assault. The most common are being punched, kicked, or slapped, or spit on.
So how much more likely are ER workers to experience physical abuse on the job than the rest of the working population?
So within the healthcare setting, the emergency department is the area that has the most violence against workers. If you look at healthcare professionals, if you look at just nurses and physicians, and this isn't just emergency medicine, this is actually all, it's about three times more prevalent than this is now suffering a physical assault, about three times more prevalent than the general population. If you take all healthcare workers, it's actually closer to six times more prevalent. If you look back at some Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers, if you look back to 2007, you'll see that 60% of all reported assaults occurred in a healthcare setting. And then in 2014, that number rose to 75%.
Why is this? Why is there so much more exposure to physical abuse and violence on the job than for other occupations?
Our research shows that there's really two big groups where these are the perpetrators, and that is those who have psychiatric illness or have substance abuse problems or sometimes suffer from both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of other environmental factors that take place. Emergency departments are frequently crowded. They're noisy. There's a lot of disruptions. There's a lot of stress. I mean, you have to remember that when people come to the emergency department, they're usually not there with something minor. It's something that's more serious, and it raises then tensions, and we believe that's part of the reason that this happens.
Hmm. In the report that came out from the American College of Emergency Physicians, almost 70% of doctors surveyed said they noticed an increase in violence in the last 5 years. I mean, it's all the emergency room, by its very definition, is always a pretty intense place. But what's been happening here that we've seen this increase over the last 5 years?
Well, that was a little surprising to us as well, to find that it was actually going up. Now, there may be two things going on. One may be that there actually is an increase in the actual numbers. And then secondly, I believe that because there's more and more work being done and more attention being brought to this problem, I think that it has increased decreased our tolerance for it. And I do believe that we're starting to report it much more often than we ever used to. Mm-hmm. It used to be that people just thought of it as part of the job. But I think more and more we're finding that that level of tolerance is going away.
You mentioned substance abuse as one of the issues here. Do we have any sense of how big a part of this problem that is, whether it's alcohol or some other drugs?
Yeah, our research shows that alcohol and other drugs are part of the problem. I can tell you that, for example, people don't realize this, but when somebody has an overdose on, say, an opioid, we give a medication to help reverse that. It was not uncommon for us to be helping them breathe, but then put them in restraints for their own protection and ours when we gave the medication to reverse them, because when they come out of this, they're very, very violent frequently. And you can imagine with alcohol, it's also common to have people that lose their inhibition and perpetrate violence against healthcare workers. It's not uncommon that once they finally sober up, they're often very surprised at their own behavior.
We're talking with Dr. Terry Kovalenko, Chairman of Emergency Medicine at Oakland University, William Beaumont School of Medicine in Michigan. He's been studying workplace violence in the emergency room for more than a decade. You mentioned earlier that the numbers we've been talking about that's about doctors, but the suggestion here is that the people who see patients first in the ER, the nurses, the workers at the front end of this operation are seeing even more. Do we have any idea what those numbers are like?
Yeah, so nurses and techs definitely have experienced a greater prevalence, have a greater prevalence of violence perpetrated against them. And our research shows that really there's a direct correlation between the amount of time you spend with a patient and then having the increased incidence of violence. So with our nurses, it's almost 100% with what we found. And if you look at some of the studies, ours have shown that up to 60% have been physically assaulted at least once in the previous year, and many of them more than that. And as I said before, physicians actually, although they're not immune to it, their numbers are lower than that of the nurses and the techs.
So, I want to invite our listeners to join us as well. Listeners, do you work in an emergency room? Have you experienced violence on the job? And how did it impact your life, both in and out of the ER? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. Kovalenko, you've said that the increase in violence that you're seeing in the research could be in part due to employees reporting abuse more often. Why would they have kept it to themselves before?
So there's a multitude of reasons that we found that there was underreporting. First of all, we know that there's underreporting even today, but it's better today than it was even a decade ago. Part of it was that it was a potentially an onerous process. And you can imagine if you're a nurse who just finished a 12-hour shift, and you were shoved during the shift, but you weren't physically hurt by it, you might not take the time to fill out some sort of a form to report it. And the other things we found were that there was a fear that if you reported it more often, people might think of you as the problem. You can imagine that if two different people have different thresholds for what they report, one reports everything and the other one reports nothing. If you're an administrator looking at these reports and you see one name keeps coming up, you may actually think that person may be the problem, when in fact they're not the problem, they're just reporting more often.
Do we have a sense of how underreported this abuse has been in an ER setting?
Yeah, so our numbers show that it's only, the reporting rate is probably less than 50%. And actually, when you look at that, that's just reporting to the hospital. When you look at actually reporting to police, every study we've had has been less than 5% of the time do they report anything to the police.
Hmm. Well, I suppose going back to your earlier comments about why they don't report, that reporting to the police would just increase the amount of paperwork and the time they would have to spend after the fact to deal with this.
And there's also a fear of retribution, either from the perpetrator or from work itself, if they continue to go forward. The other groups of people that we know are underreported are groups where we, as healthcare professionals, realize that they're not under their own control. So, for example, small children or older adults with dementia. Frequently, if you're starting an IV or something like that, it's painful to that person, mm-hmm. and they react, and they can cause react in a violent manner, and we know that those instances are almost never reported.
I would like to start at least having a conversation here about the actual effect of this physical abuse on ER workers. We're coming up to a pause in the program here, so we'll probably continue this afterwards, but let's talk about the impact of this this abuse on ER workers. I'm assuming there's a physical toll. What is the physical toll here?
So depending on what ends up happening to the person, I mean, I've seen everything from a person having facial bones broken and a tooth knocked out to being slashed and cut with somebody that broke a computer screen and then used that as a weapon against some of our nurses. So the extent of physical violence really is runs the gamut. But beyond the physical damage, there is the psychological component. And you don't even have to necessarily be the victim of the violent act. You just need to be a witness of it. And I can tell you that with some of the debriefings that we've done with some of our employees when there have been instances like this, it is not uncommon that all of the witnesses suffer significantly from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that there's issues that are psychological, and there have been plenty of studies that have shown there's been instances of PTSD. And then not infrequently, especially among the nursing staff, they look to find a different position somewhere else.
Okay. And I want to continue that part of the conversation as the program moves forward here. Dr. Terry Kovalenko is our guest. He's the chairman of the emergency medicine at Oakland University William Beaumont School of Medicine in Michigan. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Emergency room physicians say they're seeing more violence on the job, according to a new report. If you work in the healthcare industry, if you work in an ER, does your workplace have strategies in place to protect you from potentially violent patients? And if so, how are they working? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. Terry Kovalenko is chairman of emergency medicine at Oakland University William Beaumont School of Medicine in Michigan. He's been studying workplace violence in the emergency room for more than a decade. Dr. Kovalenko, we were talking about what the violence in the ER costs workers physically and mentally, and that some actually leave emergency room work. Would this represent an added cost for hospitals? Does this violence in the ER end up costing money in terms of what it costs to provide health care?
Yeah, undoubtedly it does, because when we have a relatively high turnover rate of nursing, and emergency nurses have the highest turnover rate of all the nurses. And as I said before, part of that is this exposure to violence. And obviously then it costs money to recruit and train new nurses.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Kovalenko, you've been assaulted by patients before. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so three come to mind. One was a tragic scene of an unfortunate situation of a grieving mother of a small child that we were unable to resuscitate, and she attacked me while we were giving the news. I had another instance of an intoxicated patient who grabbed me by my throat, and I was able to get away. But the one instance that really affected me more than any other was not even the physical assault, it was the threat of physical violence. And it was a patient that told me he knew my shift ended at 11 o'clock at night, he knew where the doctor's lot was, and that he would be waiting there for me. That was probably the scariest one of all of them.
When you were in medical school, what was your sense of how dangerous the job could be?
I had no sense. I had no sense of the danger, not at all. And as time has gone on, we all recognize it. One of the other reasons we think that some of the numbers are going up is that we know that we have fewer and fewer psychiatric inpatient units, and so more and more of these patients end up in the emergency department. And given, as I said before, with the level of agitation, possibly intoxication, and then the stresses in the emergency department, obviously that adds to this problem as well.
So what about what's going on in our medical schools? Should this kind of training have been offered to you as you were going through the program? What about in nursing? Is physical abuse something that they need to prepare people for? And if so, are they doing it?
Yeah, now it's mandatory. And the Emergency Nurses Association has taken really a lead on some of these things, and they have some toolkits with regard to instructing nurses on how to deal with the physically violent patient. There's really four different ways that we're dealing with it. One is environmental, another is policies and procedures, and then the third is education and training. And as I said, certainly nursing goes through all of this. They do it at least once, and usually they have refreshers yearly for training of this. But you can imagine that this is it's a difficult issue, is that when I used to instruct people for self-defense, and instructing a person for self-defense from the general public is very different than in the emergency department. As you can imagine, it's very important that we teach folks how to defend themselves in the emergency department, but not cause harm to the patient, which is very different than what you would do on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a caller. Melissa joins us from Oshkosh. Melissa, good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
I work in mental health at a state-run mental health facility, and I have seen the issue of retention of our frontline staff being our nursing staff who have been attacked over and over and over again. And they're being replaced with less experienced staff, leaving our senior staff more at risk, and it's concerning.
Melissa, thank you for sharing your story with us. Dr. Kovalenko?
Yeah, this is not at all surprising. And as I mentioned before, is that with the high turnover rate, then you have to recruit new people, and then there's a whole brand new training that has to go in place there. So replacing an experienced nurse with a new nurse is not the same until they get up to speed, which can sometimes take, you know, weeks to months.
Well, and it sounds, from Melissa's perspective, that this is a problem that isn't just confined to the ER. It's we're seeing it elsewhere in healthcare as well. And part of it is a public policy issue.
Yeah, actually, within the hospital setting, emergency department is the area that has the most violence. But number two are psychiatric units.
Where emergency room physicians say they're seeing more violence on the job, according to a new report. Does your workplace have a strategy in place to protect you from potentially violent patients? 800-642-1234. Dr. Terry Kovalenko is with us this hour. He's been studying workplace violence in the emergency room for more than a decade. So I guess the big question here is what is being done to curb the physical abuse that emergency room physicians, nurses, and technicians face on a daily basis?
So as I mentioned before, there's really three key strategies, and one might even add a fourth being legislation. But the three categories are really environmental, policies and procedures, and education and training. And when I talk about environmental, what I'm referring to is, for example, installing panic buttons, having secure entrances, increased lighting, metal detectors, increasing the security presence, which actually our study did show that since our first time studying this in Michigan to now, there's definitely been an increase in security in emergency departments. But having cameras, locked doors, having keyed entry with key cards, And then from policies and procedures is really the most important one is to report it. And I've been really on my soapbox for years now trying to tell healthcare workers that they have to report this stuff, because if they don't report it, administrators don't think then that there is a problem. And it's not their fault if we're not reporting. So we really need to do a lot more reporting of this and then try to work with our security officers. For example, the hospital I work in, we have a great relationship with our security personnel, and we've added some strategies. And for example, we put most of our mental health patients, we put them together in an area, and we have a dedicated security officer to that area, and that's really decreased the number of instances we've had. And then the education, as I said before, but not only teaching people how to defend themselves, but I think it's really important to teach them how to recognize a potentially violent patient, how to potentially de-escalate that person, because ideally we don't want the violence to occur at all. And then the fourth strategy, and I think 29 states now do have laws in place that make it a felony to assault a healthcare worker. Now, the only downside to those is that somebody had to be a victim in order for that to work.
And some people might not be as likely to report it if it is a felony. So, you know, you've got that whole conundrum again. So what's the consequence of doing nothing here?
Well, I think the greatest fear, if you do nothing, is that violence continues or gets worse. And just accepting it is not a solution. And just saying that this is part of the work environment is not acceptable.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Doctor, I really appreciate your time with us, Dr. Kovalenko. Thank you. Dr. Terry Kovalenko has been studying workplace violence in the ER for more than a decade. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.